Morning, everybody. Yeah, good to see all of you. Last Sunday of 2025. Just a bit of advertisement for next Sunday. Next Sunday, first Sunday of the year, we have a very special message for returnees. So if you have friends who have been away, either from the Lord, away from church for a while, it'd be a good time to call them, invite them back, and make a comeback, right? But it's just not only meant for them, and then the rest of us are wasting time. It's not like that. I think there is a message from God for us, from the most mature, stable one, etc. We're supposed to rededicate ourselves to something very important. All right? So you'll hear more about that next week. But just want to give a heads up to let you know that it's a good opportunity to invite your friends who have been away from church to come back to church. It's good because we like to have a new start in the morning. We like to have a new start Monday of the week. We like to have a good start in the beginning of the month. And of course, it's a great way also to have a new start at the beginning of the year. So it gives us special psychological boost to people making a comeback. And when they're back, they can be open to God's word and let God speak to them. Okay, that's all that I want to say. Before we get into prayer and dive in, let us read the passage that we have been dealing with for several times already. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 to 14. We have been doing a series on Please God in Good Work and Knowing Him More. And today is the seventh installment, which I'm entitling it Abounding Thanksgiving. So let's just read. I'll lead in the reading. Colossians 1, 3 to 14, reading from the New King James Version. We give thanks to the God, our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us in the kingdom of His Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for seeing us through the past Sundays, all the Sundays that we could gather as a church to worship, and today, being the last Sunday, we want to dedicate this time to you. We pray, O God, that you speak to us, help us to round up the year with the right type of conviction, with the right spirit, something that you'll be very pleased with. So speak to us as we open our hearts and our ears to you, and we pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody say, Amen. Let me share by introduction first about spotting an embedded sub-theme. Our theme verse for the church this year is Colossians 1 and verse 10, just one verse, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, that is the theme for the church. But for the main theme of the book itself, Colossians itself, actually is about the supremacy of Christ. Those of us who are in the habit of doing book study and you have read it, you spot this very easily. and supremacy of Christ, meaning the Lordship of Christ, the Lord of our life, Lord of all creation. And believers must acknowledge His Lordship, and then you live under His Lordship. So we have studied how we ought to walk worthy of the Lord, worthy of His Lordship over our life, and to be fully pleasing to Him, and being fruitful in good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And we have done 6 studies from the epistle, and I plowed through the book countless times as I spent hours preparing the series. And I spotted an interesting sub-theme embedded in the book. And the sub-theme is on thanksgiving. I use the word embedded because the sub-theme is scattered. You have to look through and it's not so obvious. It doesn't flow, obviously. It's scattered. So for instance, the sub-theme of thanksgiving is mentioned twice in the opening paragraph of Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 12, verse 3, we give thanks to God. So this thanksgiving, and pop up there. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. And verse 12, the passage that we've been reading again and again and again many times, right? Giving thanks to God, the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So then you plow through all chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and you begin to see that the sub-theme, it does appear. Now, we tend to gloss over words like give thanks, words like giving thanks. But why do the expression of thanksgiving appear so often in this epistle? Is there something about the Lordship of Christ that we can appreciate more by having a heart of thanksgiving? So what is Paul trying to convey? He said, it's about, whole thing is about Lordship of Christ. And then there's thanksgiving. Well, if we appreciate thanksgiving or have a spirit of thanksgiving, does it relate to our appreciating more the Lordship of Christ in our life? Let's investigate there. There are more references to the sub-theme of thanksgiving in the rest of the book. So today we shall conclude our studies in the book of Colossians and close the worship year with a message on thanksgiving. And I have entitled the message, Abounding Thanksgiving. I'll show you later on where I get those words from, all right? Today is the last Sunday of the year to worship God as a church family. And I think it is most appropriate for us to do so with abounding thanksgiving. Right? You end the year worshiping God with abounding thanksgiving. It's really appropriate. But let's do so with a reflection of 2025 so that we can personalize the message. Now, we are 3 days away from year end, and 2025 speeding past us at blinding velocity. I mean, the year has gone by so fast. Fortunately, as we gather on Sundays, Sunday after Sunday, we do get a once-a-week reprieve from the pressure of the weekly demand in life. I think somehow, in God's house, in the church, we can step off the week-long, fast-moving track, and then it will quieten down our spirit. So it is like stepping off a treadmill after a long run on the treadmill. And once you step off, wow, it's just a reprieve, and you can sort of do some reflection. And as we devote ourselves to worship, and His Word, like right now, you are devoting yourself to hearing His Word, we get refreshed by God. At the same time, we also have snippets of time to reflect every Sunday. We reflect during worship time. When the songs are going on, we reflect during communion time. And I want to invite you to also do some reflection as you hear God's Word. So do engage in reflection on your life in 2025. You may have been pulled in many directions in 2025. You may have been stressed by many ways, all right? Or you have been forced by circumstances to cover so many bases. Mother, and a parent, and a worker, and a caregiver, and so forth. In your reflection, I invite you to try to then pull all these pieces together, whether because you pull in many directions, stress in many ways, and covering so many bases, and then try to complete a picture, like a piece of tapestry, you know, multicolor and all. And then I want to invite you, as you pull together, to take a look at it and ask yourself, how should you respond in your heart to what you see? Your life, right? Your reflection. How should you respond? Would your response be one of regret? You look at it and say, oh, I regret. It's a total waste of 1 year. Or would you look at it and say, I resent it. It's so unpleasant. I don't want to see this year repeating again. Could it be anger? That to look at it, it arouses you, you know? Or despair, or something else. Now, of course, it's very hard, right? If I ask you, okay, everybody start now and start thinking. It's hard because you've got to pull me many things and then you're not given very much time. So, okay, can I suggest that you adopt my suggestion? Can you adopt the response of Thanksgiving? Can you try it? Say, okay, as I listen to the message, I pull all these pieces together and can I respond with Thanksgiving? In other words, that as you look at the tapestry of your life in 2025, you can say, God, I want to thank you for everything that has happened in 2025. Okay, so that is the next thing I want to say. Next, I want to comment about why the title, Abounding Thanksgiving. See, we are expected, all of us, you and I, to walk in Christ in 2025. Walk in Christ sounds technical. What does it mean? In other words, we are expected to live the Christian life. That's it. No? You live a Christian life, actually you're walking in Christ. From the pastoral point of view, we work at, we hope we have helped you to be rooted and built up in Christ and then established in the faith. These are words that is on the screen, right? That we want to get you rooted, built up, established in the faith. So to that end, we've been teaching over the pulpit and in the cell group and so forth. And we trust that you have grown spiritually over 2025. It's not that in 1 year, in one lesson, in one message, you are fully rooted, fully built up, fully established. I mean, it's an ongoing thing. Christian life is ongoing. Sanctification is ongoing. So, but we just hope that in 2025, there is a movement, there's a progress in your maturing in this area. So I really resonate with Paul's exhortation to the believers in Colossae on this point. Spiritual growth, being rooted, built up, established in the faith. This is what, as a church, we like to do for our members. Right? So look at Colossians chapter 2, 4 to 10. As you therefore have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, I skip some verses, go to verse 6. So walk in Him. Live the Christian life. Rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So there is something Paul said in the passage we just read that captured my attention. Paul said that in their growing in spiritual maturity, the believers in Colossae should abound in thanksgiving. Please, as you grow in your Christian faith, abound in thanksgiving. This word abounding is used in the New King James Version, Colossians 2:7. And if you're using other version, like the NIV, it says overflowing. Please have an overflowing thanksgiving. Please have an overflow of thanksgiving, NLT. Actually, abounding means this. If you look at the dictionary, it means profuse. A lot of things are flowing profusely. So, profuse thanksgiving. It's not murmuring thanksgiving. It's not whisper thanksgiving. But wholehearted thanksgiving. It's not just, oh, I thank you just enough. But it is exceeding in measure in thanksgiving. So, I've got this idea of profuse thanksgiving. I just wonder, have you experienced being thanked by someone so profusely that you feel embarrassed? Have you? People come and thank you and then you're so paisa. Well, I have. I have people coming to thank me so profusely over what I consider a small thing I've done, a small act of kindness, a small little thing. It's so profuse in their thanksgiving that I feel so embarrassed. Nothing leh, so paiseh. I ask myself whether that is a way I express my thanksgiving to God. Do I thank God like that? Profusely? Abundantly? Or do I thank Him in a muted way? I think more often than not, I forgot to thank Him at all. Don't talk about the way you do it. He said, I even forgot to do it at all. Or do I thank others, not just God, but people, for the way they have blessed me? More often than not, I may have taken them for granted, right? So these are things that we should really give some hard thought and repent. How many of us pay attention to thanksgiving in our walk in Christ? How many of us major in thanksgiving when it comes to being rooted, grounded, established in faith? That means when you are talking about growing spiritual maturity, you always have got this element that you are abounding with thanksgiving. Growing in spiritual maturity with a strong spirit of thanksgiving will make us winsome people. Others will be attracted to us by our thankful spirit, right? So it's good, because if I got thankful spirit and people just like me and get attracted, because that's a chance for me to redirect them to Christ. But if you are grumpy, unthankful person, people try to avoid you, and you can't even get to a place where you can share Christ with them. So you repel them, right? So why does Paul mention abounding thanksgiving? Is it important? Does God require it? Or is it just someone's trying to sermonize it? What if we are not thankful? Is it bad? It could be just an oversight, and surely it cannot be that serious, right? How bad is a lack of thankfulness? Okay, let me just, before I tell you the outline, tell you about this thank God for people in life. 7th of December, 3 weeks ago, I spoke on thanking God for people in our life. So actually, that sermon can be also grafted in here, because the theme is the same. We give thanks to God the Father, always for you, thanking God for people. A person with abounding thankfulness would readily thank God for people in their life. Their teachers, their parents, you know, the pastors, the cell group members, people who have walked with them. However, since I have covered thankfulness for people in our life at length 3 weeks ago, I shall not say any more, all right? But today, we shall look at thankfulness from other angles, and I shall use the following roadmap. It's on the screen. Number one, let's look at the mark of end-time character failure. End-time character failure. Then we look at character quality of thankfulness. What is it all about? Then from there, we go to something practical. And that is, whatever you do, do with thankfulness. Next, whenever you pray, pray with thankfulness. And lastly, whenever you're down, you can still be thankful. So three very practical ones, but two for our theological understanding. Let's start with the first one. A mark of end-time character failure. Is lack of thankfulness serious? Couldn't it be just bad personal habit or poor parenting? It is common to find parents drilling their kids from very young to say, thank you, express thankfulness, be grateful. Some parents fail to do that because they themselves are not thankful at heart. So they produce their own kind of children without a spirit of thankfulness. And I hope none of you are guilty of that. Right? So the children grow up taking for granted and they hold on to the spirit of entitlement. However, there are also cases where despite our parental best effort, our children grow up without a spirit of thanksgiving. Due to bad personal formation, right? And they simply do not make it a habit to say thank you, and they then automatically have an inclination to feel entitled. Okay, so we have this our character. But I was recently very surprised by what I read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 to 4, that the character quality of lack of thankfulness was cited on the list of character failure. Shocking. Thankfulness is a character failure. Really? Okay, let's look. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 4. But know this, that's what Paul said to Timothy, that in the last days, and we're in the last days, it means the coming of Christ is coming, the second coming of Christ is coming soon, we're into the last days. Right? So in the last days, perilous time will come, or stressful time will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Wow. Paul told Timothy that in the last days, and we are in the last days, many believers will suffer from character failure. Character failure. And then he went on to list a list of very unsavory, negative character traits. Pride, blasphemous, disobedient, unholy, and so on and so forth. I think most of the negative character traits cannot be found in us. I'm sure you go to, I'm okay. Heng, very good, well done. And then we say, Heng, my pastor brought me out, well, I don't have any. What surprised me is that the quality of being unthankful is listed there. And how can Paul lump unthankfulness with obviously bad character that I say, I'm not bad, you know? And it is, we'll put some thoughts to it. As we live in the last days, let us be vigilant that we do not backslide in our Christian life and we drift into the adoption of more and more negative character qualities listed in 2 Timothy chapter 3. The negative character qualities like that can slip into our life most easily, right, of the whole list, the one that can most easily slip in, I tell you, is a quality of unthankfulness. Why? Why do I say it's so easy to slip? Because it's so innocent, nothing of moral turpitude, right? Nothing dishonest, false. It's just unthankful. But it is because it is so innocent, so innocuous, that it slips in. And being, what is a big deal in forgetting or in failing to be thankful? It's a big deal. It's a big deal to God. Big enough for Him to list it together with this whole list of unsavory characteristics of character failure, right? Thankfulness is a positive character quality expected of a mature Christian. Let me tell you. Unthankfulness is frowned upon by God. Therefore, the first thing that you must reflect as you sit here listening is, am I a thankful person? Thankful to God, thankful to people in my life. Then let's take a deeper dive into this quality, character quality of thankfulness. Number two. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 to 4, Paul listed negative character qualities of a backsliding Christian in the last days. Now, let's take a look at the contrasting lists of positive character quality of mature Christian listed by Paul in Colossians chapter 3, 12 to 15. Look at verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on mercy. Okay, we are the mature Christian. We're going, put on, have positive character quality, mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all, put on love, which is a bond of peace. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body and be thankful. And be thankful. One who lives and then bang. And be thankful. We have a wonderful list of positive character qualities like mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, forgiveness, and so forth. Then we have the words, and be thankful. It is interesting to note that thankfulness is found in the list of outstanding character qualities of a Christian. And when you find thankfulness in the list, you can rank it with outstanding character qualities like generosity, gratefulness. And we have mentioned above, we should grow in spiritual maturity. We'll talk about that now. Let's go in. It means becoming more like Christ and exhibiting Christian character quality, among which must be thankfulness. Let me read again. Colossians 2, 6 to 7. Therefore, you have received Christ, walk in Him, live a Christian life, rooted, built up in Him, established in the faith, and abounding in it with thankfulness. All right? It's so abundantly clear. That is also tied in our becoming a mature Christian. Thankfulness should be a character quality of a mature disciple as much as other outstanding character qualities like humility, love, mercy, generosity, gratefulness. The older you are as a Christian, the more abounding you should be in thanksgiving. How long have you been a Christian? How old are you by age? Do you know that if you say, oh, many years, many, many years, I can't even remember, right? Then you should be abounding more. It is very sad to see grumpy old believers, unhappy and critical. Tell your neighbor, lu yi kong lu le. Yeah. So old, so many years Christian like that one. But it's a joy to spend time with mature Christian, oozing with thanksgiving. You talk to them and you get very excited. It is very uplifting. And it comes with a testimony of gratitude and so forth. You will find them thankful for every small things, never waiting for the big break before they give thanks to God. And the trouble with us is that we don't give thanks. Nothing happening. It's a small thing. I got hell, nothing. Let me have a big break when I do BPO and I thank God, you know. I will thank God when there's a big break. But I think we should. The thankful person is thankful for everything. So it reflects the true condition of the person's heart and spirit. So let me just summarize this one. Very important. We're talking about this character quality. You know, the negative part is that God listed it as one of the character failure in the end times. Be careful. Then the other one, teaching us that if a mature Christian, as you add on, as you grow, all the positive of humility, mercy, etc., always have thankfulness. Then this is theory, but how about doing something practical? Let's come to the practical. Practical thing number one. Whatever you do, do with thankfulness. Thankfulness ought to characterize our work attitude. It's not restricted to church work, you know. It should cover secular work. It's not just glamorous work. You are the managing director. You are the CEO. You're a senior partner. But it should cover saikang. You know what saikang, right? Do rubbish. Feet washing. Cover that also. In fact, in everything we do, we ought to do it with thanksgiving. Colossians 3, 16 to 24. Let me just start with verse 17. Whatever you do in word, indeed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God. All right? First, you do it in the name of Jesus, means in the Lordship of Christ, and then you give thanks. Say, well, of course, you know, I'm a somebody, you know, of course I give thanks. But no, even if you're a bond servant, verse 22, obey in all things your masters, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, for you serve the Lord Jesus. And so it can be the lowest of menial tasks, etc. Whatever it is, you can still do with the spirit of thankfulness and wholeheartedly. So the best work attitude that we should have is a thankful attitude. Thankfulness should inspire a worker to do his work heartily, not grudgingly. And both qualities of thankfulness and wholeheartedness are encouraged by Paul as an expression of one's submission to the Lordship of Christ. And that's very clear, right? If you do this, do it unto the Lord. And if you do it unto the Lord, be thankful. As you do unto the Lord, be wholehearted. So we do our work unto the Lord and not unto men. So let me ask you, what is your work attitude? Is it characterized by thankfulness and wholeheartedness? In recent years, there's an observable shift in work attitude of PRC workers, the People Republic of China, Xi Jinping's people. Not here, okay? We are nice, okay? We are nice people. We are the Lawrence Wong people. Many of them now practice in PRC the work attitude called Tangping. You know what Tangping? Yeah. If you don't know Chinese, just ask you, I'm an expert. You know, yeah. Tangping means it's lying flat. And it is a Chinese slang, a slang term that describes a personal rejection or societal pressure to overwork and overachieve, such as in the 996 working hour system, which is often regarded in China as a rat race of ever diminishing return. I think it's quite terrible when I read about the culture, the work culture in China. I don't want to be there. It is basically very widespread. It's 996. You start work at 9, you end work at 9. And then 6 days a week. All right? No time for paktor, you know? You want to get a wife or girlfriend, but sign. Only Sunday only. So, I think this, and it's going on and on, is really terrible, right? And so, there came a rebellion, Tangping. It inspired the attitude of what we call quiet quitting, meaning doing only what one's job demands and nothing more. And this became very popular in 2022 in America. As Christians, we should never adopt Tangping or quiet quitting work attitude. We should adopt Paul's teaching in Colossians 3, verse 17 and 23 instead. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father. And then whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So, practical thing about thankfulness, this spirit of thankfulness that should be part of our life, character quality, is that whatever you do, do it with thankfulness. Next, whenever you pray, pray with thankfulness. We are taught to pray. And we all pray, right? I'd be very surprised that we don't pray, right? And very often, there is one missing element in our prayer. And the missing element is thanksgiving. And Paul exhorted the Colossians to continue earnestly in prayer, vigilant in it, then with thanksgiving. Look at Colossians 4, 2-4. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it, but with thanksgiving, praying for us also, and so forth, right? Prayer helps us to overcome anxiety and worries. Because praying is entrusting. When you pray, you entrust your situation to God. And if you have entrusted the situation to God, you should not worry too much about it. Prayer is an overcomer of anxiety. And I think we should just practice it until it is a second nature of when you pray, you overcome anxiety because a lot of us are always anxious. And then we got a lot of people helping. We got a lot of help. We got constant help. Somebody is beside us helping us to be anxious. You know who? The devil. The devil is always, hey, this useless, not about kill them, all kind of thing. And constant help. And it's to help you to be anxious, to help you to be defeated. Right? I think we've got to get used to telling them to shut up. And make prayer as an overcomer of anxiety. But to see prayer as an overcomer of anxiety is only half the story. And the other half of the story is thanksgiving. if you pray with thanksgiving, the peace of God will come upon you. Giving thanks forces you to leave the negative and move to the positive place of God's blessing. You cannot, you're in a negative position, and to give thanks, you have to say something positive, right? You cannot say something about the negative. That move to the positive actually usher in the peace of God to your life. You cannot thank God with a negative mindset. Right? So Paul reinforces this teaching in Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We have anxiety. So Paul said, don't try to be anxious, but pray. Pray about it, man. Pray. Supplication. But remember, with thanksgiving. And your request is made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guide your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving should not be withheld even when we are in an unfavorable condition in life. This is very important because as we reflect on 2025 and then you say, Thanksgiving, well, my year is bad, you know, how can I give thanks, all right? Let it be a perfect year, I'll give thanks. But there's no such thing. Thanksgiving should be there still even when we are in an unfavorable condition in life. Paul, for example, talked about thanksgiving, and he thanked God all the time, but he himself was not in a good place. He was in prison when he was writing this letter. Paul did not thank God for the chains, but he kept thankful spirit despite his chains. And Paul's letter was flavored, peppered with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving helps us to overcome anxiety. Circumstances may be unfavorable. We may be anxious, for example, about 2026, but we must remember that thanksgiving is a key to overcoming our anxiety. I think that there's always danger when you preach. You preach in a vacuum. You take a Bible verse and then you expound it with no reference to reality around. But actually, there's a backdrop. Whatever we say, however you reflect, there is a backdrop. The first backdrop is this. The very stressful year for the world. In April 2025, President Trump announced the Great Liberation Day for USA. And he imposed sweeping tariffs on all countries in the world. Chaos descended upon the world. Although there have been some changes to the tariff made so far, confusion still reigns. Nothing is fixed yet. And of course, Singapore, we're not spared, all right? And we can feel the stress. Then you look at Ukraine and Russia, the war that rages on throughout the whole 2025. By February next year, you reach a fourth anniversary. The suffering of the people of Ukraine and Russia are tragic. And the war has caused lots of disruption to trade and commodity, bump up the cost of living for many countries. And, you know, at the start of the war was bad because commodity, which was the main source of export for Ukraine, it was stopped. And, you know, commodity prices shot up. Then you have the Israel-Hamas war raged on for most part of 2025. I mean, it started a year before that. It went, and thank God, ceasefire came October 2025. The war has caused great suffering to both Palestinian and Israeli. And the world has also suffered collateral damage in terms of increased cost of living. I mean, shipping is all haywire now. We cannot go through the Gulf of Hormuz because the Houthis are shooting ship down. So we live in a world under stress in 2025. I don't even want to go to regional problems that we have in Bangladesh, Pakistan, India, China, and Thailand, Cambodia, and so forth. But we are largely shielded, Singaporean. We are shielded, but we do feel the stress because we are part of the world. So what I'm saying is this. This is a backdrop. You talk about thankfulness. It's not a vacuum. This is a backdrop. Secondly, individual challenges. We have our own challenges. You have yours, I have mine. They come in various forms. It can be work, it can be finance, it can be health, it can be friends, it can be family, it can be ministry, it can be personal discipleship. we have challenges. As a pastor, I come to know people telling me, asking for prayer about retrenchment, about divorces, about all kinds of health challenges, including cancer, about relationship breakup. This is a backdrop we are talking about. It's not a vacuum. I'm talking about our church. As we are in an aging society, we hear more of us experiencing caregiving challenges. I've staff resigning. And then, why do you want to resign? Are you going to a better job? Say, no. I'm going to stay at home. Why? Taking care of aging parents, taking care of a sick sister. That type of challenges. We also have our fair share of death and bereavement. A lot of funeral in our church. This year, I attended 16 funeral weeks. And I missed just as many. That means I couldn't attend all, although I tried to be like a PAP MP. I missed many others because of time, travel constraint. But 16 is a lot. And it's of people dying in the church. This is a backdrop. You want to talk about thankfulness? This is a backdrop. It's not a vacuum. You have challenges in personal front as well. For me, 2025, one whole year throughout, Cindy fought cancer with faith, with courage. We're thankful for the church praying for her. And it was an extremely difficult year for her as a patient and for me as one of the caregivers. However, Cindy and I were thankful. We keep counting our wins and refuse to cave in by the many setbacks. We acknowledge setback. We are not trying to pretend, trying to bluff ourselves. But we always give thanks for the wins. Because cancer is not a mountain to conquer, but a range with many peaks to climb. You climb a peak, it's a win. Then you get a setback, downhill. Then you're followed by another peak, and it's a win. And Cindy and I have learned to thank God for every win over every peak. We don't want to wait for the whole range to be conquered before giving thanks. We pray and trust that we remember thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2 says, continue earnestly in prayer. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. It means that every time you see a win, small win, say, God, we thank you for the win. And when setback comes, we're going to continue to trust God. So this is the backdrop. It's for real. And we are talking about thankfulness in this backdrop. And that brings me to my last point, right? And it's this. When you are down, you can still be thankful. The inheritance we have in the saints is a fundamental reason for thanksgiving. God has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. The gift of redemption trumps any other earthly gift that we may have or may not have or that we want and we fail to get. Right? This is the greatest gift. Colossians 1, 9-14, we read, I need to truncate it. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us in the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. So we must be reminded, fundamentally, we have something to thank God for. If you, at the end of the day, you go to bed and you want to say, what shall I say to God before I knock on the bed? I want to thank God. I can't think of anything. Well, thank God for this. It's real. It's theologically, it's the truth. And it's fundamental. There was another occasion when the disciples of Jesus, they were so excited about receiving, about exercising power, authority that Jesus gave to them. And it was a sensational experience of the power of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus immediately pointed them to the thing that they ought to appreciate above power, above authority even. And this is what Jesus said in Luke 10, 17 to 20. Context, verse 17. The 70 disciples returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." 20, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." In bad time, be thankful for this fundamental thing. Why? Even in good time, in fantastic time, need not be so carried away by that, but be carried away by this same fundamental truth that you have the redemption from God. We have something important to thank God for those who cannot think of anything to thank God for. Please be reminded, you have been justified, redeemed by Christ. You do not live under condemnation. You have been accepted into the love of Christ, and nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. You have eternal security. This is something that we can be thankful for under any unfavorable condition, under whatever backdrop that you can drop to see. No unfavorable condition can touch that promise, that what God has promised to us, all right, in terms of His love for us and eternal life. So I read for you Romans 8, 31 to 39, just part of it. God, who did not spare His Son, but delivered Him for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? It is God who justifies. It is Christ who died. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness, peril or sword? No, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here you are. This is something we can all be thankful for. So are you feeling down at this time, end of year, and you start thanking God, you can start thanking God for the gift of eternal life, for eternal security, right? Thank God for His love for you, that nothing can separate you from His love, and all the unfavorable conditions you are in cannot separate you from the Lord, right? You can thank God for that. So with that, I conclude. We're in good time. And it just to recap, and I think it's wonderful for us to close up the year with a spirit of thanksgiving. And then to appreciate that it's important, because it's actually unthankfulness is a serious character flaw of the end time, cited by Paul. Positively, it is cited as a character quality of a mature Christian, thankfulness. But this is like theory. How? Well, practically, whatever you do, be thankful. Whenever you pray, be thankful. And even when in a most unfavorable condition, you can be thankful. Right? Let's all bow in a word of prayer. Try to create a personal time, will you? Just bow your head, close your eyes, and then tune in, and then you can speak to God in your spirit where you're seated. Is there anything that you want to thank God for? Is there any check you want to make of your own spirit? Do you have a thankful spirit? Or you have a very unthankful spirit, grumpy spirit, negative spirit? Is there something God wants to speak to you? Is there something you want to tell God? Can you do it now? I'm going to give you 1 minute starting now. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Father God, I want to thank you for the immensity of your love for us. Thank you, love us when we were sinners. Not when we became good, worthy to be loved, but a time when we were wretched and unworthy. You love us. Your compassion reached out to us. And for that, we are thankful. We pray, oh God, that we'll grow up to be Christians who are always harboring and growing in our hearts. This spirit is a spirit of thanksgiving that expresses thanksgiving to you, that expresses thanksgiving to the people around. That people know us, that we are the thankful kind, we're the grateful kind, we're the appreciating kind, and that they can see Jesus in us. Thank you, Father, for the reminder as we come to close the year, that we can close the year well, not ignoring the backdrop, a worse situation, a personal situation, or some difficult challenges. They're there. Unfavorable, maybe. But we can still be thankful. So help us, Father. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. We're going to stand up and a closing song before I dismiss you and bless you, okay? Pastor Susan will lead us in this closing song. Sing for our hearts. Sing to the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, for your love to me.
Receive the blessing from the Lord. And now may the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the presence, the fellowship, the anointing of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and abide with you forevermore. In Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen.